Lord God, we give you thanks for this day when we can gather in your house and hear from your word the story of Jesus cleansing the temple from John 2, the story of great transformation and cleansing. We ask, Lord, that as we encounter your word this day, that you would cleanse our hearts and give us a newness of life, a newness of spirit, that we might be ever made more into your image and be pleasing to you with how we live, for that is our desire. Bless us with a healthy dose of your spirit, we pray, as we read and reflect on your scripture this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The sermon text today is Romans chapter 4. That's not correct. Romans chapter 7. I don't know why I said 4. Romans, I've got it right here in front of me. Romans chapter 7, verses 14 through 25. Romans 7, starting in verse 14. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself, in my mind, am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Is there a war going on inside you right now? Are you struggling today between the influences of good and evil? That's a rhetorical question. I'm not asking you to actually answer it out loud. It's okay if you do, I guess. But how good are you at hiding that struggle? We generally try to keep that kind of thing hidden from each other. It's a cultural thing. It seems to me that these words from Romans 7 might ring true in the lives of many of us in this room today. And yet, those around us might not realize just how powerful that struggle is inside us. We wear masks to hide our internal problems. We come to church or go to school or go to work or go to the store and pretend that everything is all right. How are you today? Just fine, thanks. But inside, the war rages on internally. What we want to do and what we actually do are not always in agreement with each other. What we pretend we are and who we really are do not always match up. We know what is good and right, but even when we want to do good, evil is right there with us. So we hide. We hide from each other and from God. We allow ourselves to feel trapped and isolated, and we grow helpless because all that we can see is a future full of the same routine, Each day comes and goes, and the internal war rages on. Good and evil are duking it out in the umpteenth round, and we're just going along for the ride. Sometimes this struggle is more present in our thinking than at other times. Life goes through its cycles, of course, and our internal conflict between good and evil varies between more intense and less intense. If you find yourself in the midst of this conflict right now, I would like for you to give yourself room to feel that conflict and to own it, not to hide from it. You are allowed to resonate with this passage from Romans 7. And if your life is more stable right now than at other points in your life, think back on your experiences and realize that things have not always been stable, as they are now, perhaps, for you today. Sometimes the war inside us is more tangible, more real life than it is for others. Throughout this season of Lent, as we approach the celebration of Good Friday and Easter, at the beginning of April this year, we here at Mount Haley are focusing on the worldwide issue of human trafficking, a place where the struggle between good and evil is certainly more tangible for many people than it is for others. Human trafficking is a worldwide phenomenon in which people are enslaved by others, even today in today's world, for the purposes of sexual exploitation or for forced labor or for some other reasons. It's estimated that there are some 30 million people worldwide who are enslaved against their will, forced to do things that they do not want to do, forced to live in places where they do not want to live, made to satisfy the whims of their owners, unable to live as free and healthy individuals. One of the common experiences of people who are trafficked across international borders, especially, is that their identification documents are held securely by their traffickers. Passports and other kinds of things that would let them go back to their home countries. No, those are held for safekeeping by the people who are really holding them. So the people who are trafficked have to do what their traffickers say in order to have the hope of going home someday. But trafficking isn't just an international business. It can happen close to home when the circumstances of life become too hard to handle. In his book entitled Justice Awakening, Eddie Byun, a pastor from South Korea, writes these words. There was one young woman, still a teenager, who found that she had no choice but to sell her body because of money. The path to that nightmare life began not just with family dysfunction or poverty, but with evil. She was raped at the tender age of 6, and then again at ages 10, 12, and 15. The shocking reality is that those acts were committed by members of her own family. Evil wished to stain her innocence forever with the shame. Without feeling any form of safety at home, she decided it was time to run away and take her chances on the streets. She was noticed by a pimp and lured into the sex trade, where she ended up sleeping with up to a dozen men each night. She said, "I thought I had to do it because of the money at first, but the more I did it, the more I felt dirty. I washed up after it was over, and when I looked at myself in the mirror, I really felt dirty. I scrubbed myself until my skin almost fell off, but I still didn't feel clean." Money alone wasn't what really drove her into the sex industry. The repeated childhood rapes that stole her innocence began the devastating path of brokenness. No amount of money can address the tremendous wounds that cut the little 6-year-old girl to the core of her soul, even long after the physical wounds to her body were healed. It's the end of the quote from Eddie Byun's book. I think we get a much different picture of Romans 7 if we read it from the perspective of someone who is caught in the evil of human trafficking. "I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. It's no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. I know that nothing good lives in me. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. What I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind. What a wretched person I am. Who will save me? Who will rescue me from this body of death? Human trafficking raises issues that strike very close to home. It's not just an overseas problem. It happens here in Michigan as well. This Saturday at 2:00 in the afternoon, I invite you to come back here to the church, to our fellowship hall. We will host a speaker from the Michigan Human Trafficking Task Force who will come to describe what happens here in this state, the fight against human trafficking here locally. So come and bring a friend. We need to be aware of this problem and of what we can do about it as people of faith. If you were here last week, you'll remember our guest speaker who shared with us her story. A 17-year-old girl named Caitlin Mercy from Sanford, just up the road here. She's a survivor of human trafficking herself and is becoming, even at her young age, a spokeswoman for issues of justice and freedom in her community and online. Her testimony is really tremendous. She was trafficked from age 2 to age 9, but even after her trafficking ended, her problems continued. You might remember from her story that into her teenage years, she developed an eating disorder and then engaged in self-harm. She was a cutter. Even after a year of being clean from cutting, where she is now, she's had to celebrate 1 month free and 3 months free and six and now a year. Even after a year of being free, she still bears the marks, the scars on her arms of where she cut herself repeatedly because of her pain. These are things that affect people even when they are not victims of human trafficking. Eating disorders and self-harm and other destructive behaviors are real issues that many people face. And I think this gives us yet another voice speaking the words of Romans 7. I do not understand what I do. What I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. My body is waging war against my mind. What a wretched person I am. Who will rescue me from this body of death? So we hide. We hide from each other and from God. We allow ourselves to feel trapped and isolated, and we grow hopeless because all we can see is a future full of the same routine. Each day comes and goes, and the internal war rages on. Good and evil are duking it out for the umpteenth round, and we are just along for the ride. Who will rescue us from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, I know that there are no quick issues there are no quick fixes to the issues that we face. We can say Jesus as the Sunday school answer to the question, the right answer that everybody knows, the easy thing to say. Who will rescue us? Well, Jesus will rescue us. Of course he will. But if we're not careful, saying Jesus is just another mask, another way to hide, another way to distance ourselves from our deepest pain and pretend it doesn't exist. But when we truly encounter Jesus, when we truly experience relationship with him, it's not about hiding the truth from him or revealing the truth to him. Jesus already knows everything there is to know about us. Instead, like the story of Jesus cleansing the temple in Jerusalem just before his crucifixion, found in John 2, sometimes Jesus wants to do a little radical redecoration. He wants to cleanse what there is in us that is not healthy and remove from us the things that are obstacles to true relationship with Him. Relationship with Jesus is risky business because He knows what is inside us and He has the power to remove evil from us, to rescue us from the prison house of sin, to restore to us new life and new purpose, like the new life and new purpose that we saw here last week in Caitlin Mercy. Relationship with Jesus brings about real freedom from the things that oppress us. Jesus is our rescuer. And I believe that when we say Jesus is our rescuer, we should say it in an all-encompassing sort of way. He has rescued us. He is rescuing us, and He will rescue us. Jesus has rescued us in the past through His death on the cross and through His resurrection from the grave. The text of Romans that we read from chapter 7 ends at the end of chapter 7, but if you continue on to the next verses of chapter 8, it continues by saying, "Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For God sent His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering." If you are a Christian, then you have already experienced this rescue by the hand of Jesus. Jesus has rescued us from sin and meaningless death. But the rescuing work of Jesus is not just in the past. He rescues us in the present as well. For the war between good and evil continues on inside us, and Jesus is constantly at work calling us toward the good. Jesus moves through people and organizations that fight against human trafficking to bring release for modern-day captives. Jesus even works through 17-year-old girls to move us away from eating disorders and self-harm. But perhaps your world still seems extremely dark and hopeless. Perhaps the war going on inside you feels like a losing battle. If that describes you this day, then believe the good news of Scripture. Who will rescue us from this body of death? Who will rescue us from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus will rescue us. Jesus will rescue you, even if your world seems beyond redemption. So pray for Caitlin, our guest speaker last week, and the other 30 million victims of human trafficking. Pray for their release and for their healing. Pray for the perpetrators, their traffickers, and those who would do them harm. Pray for them that Jesus would rescue them from evil as well. And in your own life, don't hide. Don't hide yourself from God. Don't pretend that the war inside you is easy to handle. Call out to God for help. Reach out to Jesus, who offers a rescuing hand. And reach out to a fellow disciple of Jesus for help. Take the risk of sharing your internal struggles with a trusted friend. Because Jesus loves you, remember that Jesus loves you, that Jesus wants to rescue you, and He wants to set you free. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus Christ, we give You thanks this day for Your word, which rings true in our lives. We give You thanks that You have won the victory over sin and death through Your crucifixion and resurrection. And we give You thanks that we can call on You as our rescuer. For those who are trapped in the evil of human trafficking, we pray, Lord, that You would rescue them through the good people of this world who are trying to bring about righteousness and justice and fairness for all of Your children. For those of us here who are struggling with a battle between good and evil in our own lives, Lord, we pray that you would help us to choose the good and to pursue you and to see you bring about newness of life and transformation in our lives. Even in this coming week, we pray for that to come about. For those who need healing and comfort, we pray that you would stay close to them and that you would provide rescue for us at every turn. For you alone are our rock. There is no one else that we can turn to. We thank you, Lord, for being ever present in our lives. And we express our love for you. How great is your love for us. Lord, how much we love you. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen.